the beat to drop. Well, it's about to. Here's about
I know, it's just taking too long. And people be like, what's going on?
So I had to wait on it.
You're going to listen to the beat.
I know. It was going to drop. I probably could have waited on it, but I'm impatient. It is a new theme Thursday. We're hanging out here at Terry Black Barbecue, having a great time. The new theme for today is H-Town. And yes, my man Patrick had to put some Screwston in there. A little DJ Screw for you. For those who don't know what Screw music is, obviously we haven't lived in Texas very long. But DJ Screw, before he passed away, the late, great DJ Screw, would just slow down music, do what he called chopping it up, all right, which was mixing it. Became famous for it, honestly.
Yeah.
It started a whole new
thing.
Genre of music, if you will, with Screw music. So, paying homage to H-Town, trying to give the Astros, Ghost Rolls, some good mojo, but they had plenty of mojo.
We're trying to give the Texans good mojo. Look, this is...
Hey, that's right.
This is as much anti-Philly as it is pro-Houston, too. I mean, really.
Right. Good point.
That's true. That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Playing Meek Mill. or Will Smith.
The Fresh Prince.
Yeah. No Boys to Men on
no
today.
No Boys to Men.
Oh, man. That Cooley High Harmony.
Yeah, man, there it
that
is.
Going on?
That's right.
All right. Well, let's get into the Astros and the Phillies a little bit. Let's talk about the game last night because a lot of Astros fans like myself, Patrick, were more than pleased with the outcome. And I think it all starts with Christian Javier, who 6 innings pitched. 0 hits, enough said.
All you need to know.
A lot of goose eggs right there on that stat sheet for him, and that's a good thing. 0 hits, 0 earned runs. Did have 9 strikeouts. Only walked 2, Harge. And, I mean, to be in a World Series, by the way, second team in World Series history to have a World Series no-hitter. So you're talking about in a must-win situation. It wasn't win or go home, but it was a must win. I think everybody believed
agreed,
that.
Agreed.
Especially coming off of a game where the other team hit 5 home runs against you and pretty much blanked you and put an Old Testament style butt whipping on you. Christian Javier comes out there, weight of the world on his shoulders, and was unflappable.
Yeah.
Unfazed.
Yep.
I mean, arguably his best outing of the season.
Could be, but you go back and you look at what he did against the Yankees when he was also part
Very
of
true.
That combined no-hitter.
Very true.
The best thing about it is the best pitch is the fastball. And if you can spot your fastball, we talked about tipping pitches the other day, and then we said Randy Johnson can tip his pitches, you're still not hitting it.
Didn't matter.
Rob Clemens can tip his pitches, you still aren't hitting it. Christian Javier was locating and spotting his fastball from the inside corner, outside corner, top of the strike zone, bottom of the strike zone. He was around the plate, elevating the ball where the Phillies couldn't catch up to it. And that's a big thing, too. You know as well as I do. You've seen it time and time again. Teams will go out there in a series. And most of the time is during the normal series of the year. Mm-hmm. They'll go out there and they'll score a bunch of runs. And what do the announcers always say? You better save some of those runs for tomorrow. Because you're having so many when a team gets blown out. Well, you got to see it. They were hitting those home runs, but they were solo home runs, 2-run home runs. That's all it was. Then they come out the next day, and Christian Javier, who's had consistent starts all year long, was letting that thing ride. He was part of the group that I was talking about before when you started breaking down all the Houston Astros pitchers and how well they got to, double-digit wins, all these things that were happening. He was a major part of that, and for him to take the mound and deliver what he did yesterday, and not only that, think about the bullpen. Abreu coming out of the pen, striking out the side.
Yeah.
Then you had Montero. The infielders were getting some ground balls every once in a while. And that play by Bregman to end the thing, that is a big league play by a big league third baseman who was ready. When most of the time you're not getting all that action, sometimes the ball shocks you. And you're not ready for it.
Yeah.
He was ready for it, and that's standing there at third base saying, I want the ball hit to me. I want the ball hit to me. Like you playing defensive back, throw this way. I got it.
I want this third down.
I want this
throw
third down.
Me.
Throw it at me.
Yeah.
I'm going to break it up, and everybody's going to be happy.
Yeah.
That's what our man Bregman was doing. He was ready, came through it, made a seed throw across the infield, and they got a complete game. Not complete game, but a no-hitter by 4 pitchers.
Yeah, Philly only put 13 balls in play.
Mm-hmm.
They had more strikeouts than they had balls in play.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir. That's a testament, man.
And if you want to look at this Astros organization and just like how they're in the position they're in, and it's Ozzie Campo was the general manager who went and found Christian Javier, Framber Valdez, and Luis Garcia.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so he got a promotion.
Yeah, safe to say.
But when you say that and you go, they're able to go out and get a Yordan Alvarez in a trade with the Dodgers, not they gave up, I think, a reserve pitcher for him at a time when they were like, oh, no, we think we can see some in this kid.
Unbelievable.
The scouting they did where they were able to look at guys, and what's crazy is, like, you, normally if you're past a certain age, they don't really look at you much anymore.
Yeah.
And the Astros were like, I don't know, some of these guys are just late bloomers. Let's go find the best talent from around the world that is a little bit older, and let's look at 18, 19-year-old guys that are normally, they're like, we don't see you at 16. Like, right. You're not even a prospect.
Yeah, if you're not a prodigy, we don't
Christian Javier changed to pitching at 16.
Yeah.
So when they're like, oh, are you good? He was an outfielder. Changed to pitching because he was like, I got a good arm.
Yeah.
And then his fastball got faster and faster. And we've seen him with the Astros that last year, you're like, okay, he's okay out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
And now he's getting a no-hitter through six innings in the World Series. That progress to be able to
make is
when you look at this team and how it's put together, how you're able to do that, where you're like, yeah, they spend a lot of money, and some of it is on guys like Verlander. But a lot of what they did was just in-house, and the money is because they're trying to keep these guys.
Right. Absolutely. About that. Absolutely.
Yeah, and they're going to pay Javier.
You got to pay. When you look at that, he's in the starting rotation next year now.
Yeah,
he wasn't in the starting rotation until Odorizzi blew
that.
It.
I remember that.
And we all were joking around Odorizzi, and we're like, maybe Christian Javier can cut it.
Yeah.
That was what our reaction was in the middle of the season.
No, right. Right about that.
And to have him go this far to come through and – just know, it's like, man, I got nothing to lose. What are they going to do?
Right.
Send me the minors again? What are they going to do? Put me in the bullpen again?
That's a good point.
Fine. I'm going to go out there and play ball. And, I mean, we saw that with Suarez the night before for the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to see tonight with Verlander. You want to see, hey, man, you have the philosophy in your head or in your head is I do have a lot to lose because this is my World Series reputation. I can save all of it by having a dominating performance tonight. And everybody go, but did you see him in 2022? You got to come out and go, man, don't matter. They already think I suck.
Right.
Let me go prove them wrong.
Well,
man.
The other part of it is, too, let's not forget, he was pitching a great game.
He was.
In game one. He was dealing in game one.
He got through the lineup once, and the second time through the lineup, it started to get a little
sketchy. He tried to get fancy.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, you saw the success that someone had throwing elevated fastballs where those guys could not catch up to it. That's the beautiful part about it. Now, can you implement that same game plan for yourself tonight? And let's see what happens. Yes, you are 100% right. People are going to be looking at his starts throughout the playoffs in the World Series, and you're going to be like, oh, man, this dude, his career is going to be marred by this.
Oh, yeah.
I think that he understands that. I think the people in that dugout understand that, and they're going to do everything they can to come out and be prepared to play to try to right his ship, so to speak.
Yeah.
But the other part of it is you got to look at what Syndergaard's going to do. They're going to have to use their bullpen and use their bullpen a lot probably unless Syndergaard comes out and can be a dominant-type pitcher. We haven't seen that in a while from him. I think he was one of the best pitchers in the game. I told y'all when I got a chance to watch him, and he faced the Astros when I was at that spring training game when I got a chance to watch him play because he was just so massive, looking like Thor on that mound. And the ball was just jumping out of his hand. But let's not forget, he went through two Tommy John surgeries.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that he's going to have to go through to get on that bump tonight, and that means that the bullpen has to be ready for them.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I think he said, 35 max pitches in the postseason. Either they just really haven't needed him because, you know, they've had obviously blowouts or big leads. So you're right. This will be the game that hopefully they can tap into that bullpen really early. And maybe we just don't know what we're going to get from Noah Syndergaard. We just don't know at this point.
Yeah.
The assumption is that the Astros believe that they could get to the bullpen pretty early with him. But it all depends on what happens with Justin Verlander as well in that matchup.
Did either of you guys get to see Dusty Baker in the postgame
when
they asked him about Christian Javier? They're like, well, we pulled him at 97 pitches. Is part of that because, you know, you're thinking if he can come back in and were you thinking about how many pitches he may have left in him in this series? Mm. And Dusty goes, well, we're not thinking about – I can't lie to you. I thought about it. He's like, of course I thought about it.
You should be, exactly.
But, you know, in his head he's trying to give the right answer, which is we're not going to go to seven games and need him. But he's just like, yeah, of course I thought about it.
That's your job. Your job is to contemplate that very scenario and figure out
But his answer was he could probably give us three and a half innings if we needed him down the stretch in a later game.
Yeah.
So it's good to see. And I think that's a big thing with last night of with Christian Javier, you know, you when you did pull him at 97 pitches, he basically was two times through the lineup. And when you have a guy with a sneaky fastball that's hard to time, you probably don't want to give them another shot to time it out if you're going to use him later in the series.
Yeah.
So I think there was something to be said for, if we do save him, let's get him and try and put him through the lineup one more time, but not let him see that pitch and start to put better wood on it, start to get their bat a little bit more square to it. Even if he gets through it no hit, you're letting the core of their lineup get through, gets to see that speed of that fastball one more time. And the more secret you can keep that, the better weapon it is if you need it in a game seven.
Yeah, he definitely had him out of sorts, though. I mean, he just could not really – they couldn't successfully get in a rhythm all night. And it's mostly because Christian Javier, that high fastball, that slider, that was deadly. And I wonder, you know, in this game, the Astros have had a 5-run lead in 3 of the 4 games in the World Series. Hard to believe that. And yet it's tied up 2-2. And I think they're kind of fortunate, actually, for it to be 2-2, considering. But
let me ask you, Harge, about Yordan, because you've been pointing out his swing and his bat. We saw last night he started to go the other way a little bit more. Is that more of him just still being behind, and so it's going the other way, or is he starting to try and figure out by aiming at different parts of the park?
I think he's still behind.
Okay.
I think he's still guessing at the plate because you saw him swing at balls in the dirt.
Yeah.
That's not who he is. He needs to elevate the pitches, and what I mean by elevate the pitches, he needs to let the ball be up in his strike zone as opposed to chasing the ball that's been down. For him to have success, I'm still telling you, I'd need him to cheat one time and make sure that his foot is down and react to the ball. What did the big double that happened last night by Bregman, which way did he hit that ball? Opposite field. He stayed back and he lined it down the right field corner. Those are some of the things that I need. Altuve, he needs to start doing that because what did he do last night? What I tell y'all before we even left yesterday, I said he needs to take pitches. What did he do to start the game? Swung at the first pitch again.
I know. Every time he has a good outing and you're like, all right, he's starting to watch the pitch and he's starting to get there. The next time he comes back out, he's like, well, I did it once.
Exactly. I'm about to go out here and swing as hard as I can on the first pitch. No, just chill out. Let it happen and let the ball travel to you and use his hands to put the ball in play. There's so much that hitting. We as hitters, and I told you this a long time ago, Rod, I said as hitters, we try to make the game so complicated because we're up there thinking about everything, trying to look at the situation. Oh, I'm looking for a pitcher. Oh, he didn't throw it there, but he gave me a good fastball. I didn't do it. That's the same thing as we need to simplify the game and quit overthinking it, period.
Yeah.
Especially as a hitter. See ball, hit ball. You ask Ken Griffey Jr. Ken Griffey Jr., you hit that ball out of the park. What did you see? I saw the ball and I hit it. That's exactly what he used to always tell. He wasn't never talking about I was looking for a certain
pitch. Launch angles.
No,
and all this
none
kind
of
stuff.
That. Yeah. It's like throw the ball over here, and if I like it, I'm hitting it.
Yeah, no, I do encourage people to go check out B&E this morning with Coach Ty Harrington on there. Though he did a great breakdown about why the high fastball for Christian Javier is so effective these days, because how everybody is so emphasized, they're so
launch
obsessed
angle.
With
it's
launch
it's
angle
ridiculous.
And getting underneath the ball and trying to get that elevation. And because of that, everybody goes underneath that fastball, and it's conveniently right over.
Because chicks dig the long ball.
Yeah,
so everybody keeps thinking it. Like I said, every coach I've ever had and every ownership that I've ever played for, Hard, you learn how to hit the ball to right field yet? You stand back, you get on top of the ball? Not one of them said, man, I need you to go out there and hit home runs because, you know, that'll put more people in the seats.
Huh.
No, that put me unemployment line. That's where that put me. So,
you're right about that. I heard tiebreaker. That was really interesting. But you think that more pitches would go to that high fastball.
Right. That's why the Astros have broke the code. That's why. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Terry. Yep. You're the man.
That's why the Astros have broken the code. That's why you heard Garrett Cole, when he left, he was talking about elevating the fastball. Mm. They were taught that for such a long time because they're going against those analytics that everybody keeps talking about. They're like, they're going to be here? We're going to go here because it's hard to catch up there if your eyes are down here.
Yeah, no, I love it. You guys make it sound really simple, but I love the breakdown. Kind of the chess match. It's chess match.
It is.
It's like a chess match to the game going on in football.
And you
don't miss your spot.
Well, and that's what you want to see, especially because you're like, the bottom of the order for the Astros has been able to do that.
Yeah.
The bottom of the order is going, hey, we're not the home run hitters, so we are playing that way.
Exactly.
And you go, the rest of you can.
Yep.
So just watch what Yuli's doing.
Yeah.
You know, and then going, oh, he's just playing smart baseball because he has to. because you guys are not getting on base.
Exactly. Yeah. He's trying to get on base to set the table for everybody.
All right, gentlemen. How do y'all think this game's going to go tonight between the Astros and the Phillies? We're thinking, because we've had, like I said, we've had strange blowouts, obviously, in this matchup. Just witnessed two blowouts on either side. You've had the comeback win by the Phillies. Do we think this is the matchup where we go down to the wire, where everybody's on the edge of their seats for nine innings here, where it's actually a really competitive matchup?
I think for 7 to 8 innings, yes.
That'd be great.
It's going to be one of those games where obviously every pitch and every play matters throughout this game, and I think it's going to be one of those situations where situational baseball comes into play.
Say it again.
We talked about it before. Situational baseball comes into play. Yeah. You saw last night, Peña couldn't bunt. But you know why? Because you never ask him to bunt during the season.
Yeah.
Those are the things. That's why I always talk about, why are we not looking at hit and runs anymore? Why are they not putting people in action? You know why? Because everybody's playing for the 2-run home run or the 3-run home run,
yep,
instead of putting the guys in play.
But
and what do you do when you put it in play? You get down and through the baseball because you don't want to pop it up. So you get a good bat playing through the ball, and Bregman's the perfect guy. I would hit and run with Bregman at least 2 times a game. I would hit because he's got great bat control.
Yeah.
So does Yuli.
Yeah,
Yuli
and Bregman also. Bregman knows how to foul off balls. That
exactly.
He's really good at getting those foul tips where it's like, hey man, this is, I'm not going to be able to do anything with this, but let me just at least put it out of play so I'm not sending a runner and leaving him lost. Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that this is going to be. It was crazy. Yeah, there was no home runs. We saw all the home runs in Game 2 Game 3, and Game 4. We saw none. It was a big inning, and it was again just small ball and getting guys over. I think there is going to be a few more home runs tonight because we're going to see some bullpen and guys. I don't know if you're going to get 2-run, 3-run home runs, but you'll see some home runs tonight.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be just a high-scoring game that I agree with Arch. I think it could, in the 7th, 8th inning, get to where we kind of know who's going to win. But because of how I think how the bats are going to be tonight, you never know. You never know. It'll be playoff baseball. And I think it'll be playoff baseball tonight.
And if I am the Astros and if I'm the Phillies, I'm making both of these pitchers throw a lot of pitches.
Yeah.
I think Dusty Baker needs to tell Altuve, you need to take the first 2 pitches.
Yeah.
I think he needs to sit him down, whoever our hitting coach is, tell him, yo, dog, I need you to fake bunt. I need you to get down there where you can see the ball because you are creating short innings for us right now.
If he pitches single digits in that first inning, messed up.
You messed up.
That whole top of the order messed up if he pitches single digits in that first inning.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Yeah, that's a good point there. All right, there's a couple of stories that we haven't gotten a chance to dig deep into. I went to a couple of NFL news notes and nuggets. Bradley Chubb signed a huge contract for the Miami Dolphins. We'll get into that a little bit. You got Thursday night football game tonight between the Texans and the Eagles. Once again, that Philly H-Town matchup coming into play. So we'll get into that a little bit as well. And Gonzaga talking to the Big 12, or the Big 12, and talking to Gonzaga about possibly joining the Big 12 in the hopefully near future. We'll get into that and all of that and more right here live from Terry Black's Barbecue. You can hear folks having a good time. They're getting done with supper and dinner's getting ready to start out here in Lock Court. We want to thank Terry Black for all of the hospitality. Great location. It's brand spanking new. Just been out here a month, but the food, you always know, Terry Black's Barbecue, it's always damn good, and it feels like it tastes even better out here, the brand spanking new Terry Black's Barbecue in Lock Court. So come on out here if you're in the neighborhood. We'll be right back. We'll come back and get into some news notes and nuggets from the NFL. Also talk about Gonzaga possibly joining the Big 12. And the Big 12 got a new TV deal. All of that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie at 104.9 The Horn.
They see me rolling. They hating.
Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. We're looking live from Terry Black's Barbecue in Lockhart. If you're in the neighborhood, come on out here and join us. See, folks represent. There you go, see? Them folks are excited about dinner. They just got done with supper. So they're really excited about dinner time out here at Terry Black's. We appreciate the love, man. Great folks out here and great food, of course, at Terry Black's Barbecue in Lockhart. Brand new location. It is fantastic. And remember, they're having the World's Fair of Barbecue out here in Lockhart this weekend. On Saturday, they're going to transform the whole downtown into a barbecue extravaganza. And then on Sunday, they're going to move the World's Fair of Barbecue, if you will, their festival to the park. So if you want to have some plans this weekend, you want somewhere good to hang out, want some good food to eat as well, how about Lockhart, their World's Fair of Barbecue? All right. Got a lot of things happening tonight, of course. We just talked about the World Series Game 5. Let's talk a little bit about Thursday night football game tonight, gentlemen, between H-Town and between Philadelphia. Seems to be the theme going right now in sports. Texans versus the Eagles. Eagles, the last undefeated team left in the NFL. There was a very bleak preview that we gave earlier about the Texans and their chances. We're not the only ones who are not excited and optimistic about the Texans' chances. Right now, the Eagles are close to, if not more than, a 14-point favorite, which is really rare in the NFL to have a team be a two-touchdown favorite. But I totally understand why. I think the biggest reason is Philadelphia, top five rushing team in the NFL. You have the Texans, one of the worst, if not the worst, rushing defense in the league. They allowed 314 rushing yards to the Titans last week. They just emasculated that Texas defense. Mm-hmm. It was bad. And Davis Mills not playing really well. And on top of him not playing well, no Brandon Cooks because he's upset about his status with the team.
Yep.
Lack of being traded. And no Nico Collins because they're dealing with an injury of some sort from Nico. So one of the worst offenses in the NFL. I'll give you this stat. This is a mind-blowing stat. Texans last week, 64 total yards through three quarters. Total
Say
yards.
Say that again. Let the people know.
Total yards. 64 total yards through three quarters last week versus Tennessee.
My goodness.
Yeah, that's how bad that offense was. If they start off that bad again versus Philadelphia, and we know how Philadelphia blows teams out in the second quarter. They've outscored their opponents by 96 points in the second quarter. That is the most points that any team has outscored any other team in terms of team differential in any quarter in the history of the NFL. So no team has been more successful in any quarter than the Eagles have been in the second quarter.
Yeah, that's the thing that kind of you sit back and you're like trying to find the different areas of success and who does what. And when you looked at that number and the first time that you told me that, I was astonished by it.
Oh, man, it's crazy.
I could not believe it. It was like, wait, what'd you say? And then you went back and you said it again. So I started paying a little bit more attention to that number. And as a football fan, those are the types of things when you're starting to look at what makes a team's season, what makes a team's success, what was the turning point.
Yeah.
That second quarter seems to be a big turning point for the success that they have throughout the season. That's why they're undefeated.
It is. It's crazy.
Because they take them. But second half, yeah, you don't know what team's going to show up. Because most of the time it's the second quarter that puts the separator out there.
They're really not a great second half team.
Right.
Or not a great fourth quarter team. And they're not a great first quarter team.
It's
very strange. Patrick had a really cool theory about it, and I think he might have been on the money, but it's so strange. Usually teams make great adjustments at halftime, and you see a great third quarter because that's the adjustment quarter. Or they have a really great game plan in preparation, so they have a really – like Sark, right? Great first quarter because the script was really good.
Yep.
This doesn't really add up in any of that. Right. They're not a great first quarter team, so their script and game plan aren't great. They're not a great third quarter team, so the halftime adjustments aren't great. The – best quarter
Who
was
are
the second
you?
Quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what was your theory, Patrick, about
the
it?
The theory was that they're basically really good after the script runs out, but before adjustments
before
are made.
Before the other team makes their
adjustments.
Yeah,
so when the other teams make their adjustments, then they're not as good anymore. But that when the script runs out and they're just calling plays before adjustments, they're really good.
The improv period.
Yes.
It's like we're basically,
I like that. I like the improv
period. You got to freestyle until you get to halftime and you can kind of regroup.
Yeah.
They're really good. You're right. I think, Patrick, honestly, your theory, I think, sticks. I haven't found a better theory yet about why they're so good. And not just good. Guys, the Texans have scored 116 points total. The Eagles have scored more than that in the second quarter alone. The Eagles have scored more in the second quarter than the Texans have scored the entire season.
That's a doggone shame.
Dude, I'm telling you, that second quarter is a must. So, by the way, people, watch the second quarter. It's basically what we're saying right now.
Yeah, because you're going to be watching the baseball game first.
Yeah, you go.
So when you want to see what's going on, flip to the second
that
quarter.
That second quarter is all you need to see from that. If the Texans are still in it after the second quarter,
uh-oh.
Oh, whoa, exactly.
Uh-oh.
Whoa, whoa, we got to have a game.
Something has gone drastically wrong in H-Town.
It really has, well, at least for Philly. Well, you showed me a picture a picture of Jalen Hurts,
yes,
who is the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback. Most people know this. Some people don't. He's from H-Town.
Channel View. Yep.
Dad was a coach
there.
Dad
is the coach.
Dad still is the coach there.
Yeah, yeah.
And he actually his one of his godparents, I believe, his godfather was a director of player personnel for the Texans while he was growing up. So we actually used to work out at the Texans facility a lot.
That's why he's so strong, got that power lifting, got all that mindset and his work ethic. You know, that's why he's become the player that he is. So today, November 3rd, declared Jalen Hurts Day in H-Town.
Oh,
so
man.
That just really rubs you the wrong way, right?
Yeah.
So they just made that Jalen Hurts Day. In H-Town.
Okay, yeah. That's disrespectful. But
very much so.
Yeah, but yeah. I got a feeling him being back at home, too.
Ooh, he finna show out.
Give me some extra motivation there, I believe.
We need Kyle Allen to step up. The backup quarterback for the Texans.
Right. Because they haven't prepared for him.
Went to Houston.
They haven't prepared for him.
He wants to make it Kyle Allen Day.
Man.
I think the odds of this happening are pretty slim.
I got to tell you, if that's our hope, then, man, talk about a hope and a prayer.
They ain't keeping Kyle. Hope alive on that one. They ain't keeping hope alive on that one.
Well, we need Damian Pierce to have a insane game.
Pretty much. Right. Now, if you're a Damian Pierce, I guess, fantasy owner, this is a good game for you because I don't see any other offensive weapon for them.
Or it could be a bad one. It could be a bad one because he's going to go have like 10 yards rushing on 25 carries.
That's true. He got shut down last week.
Right.
But usually he had been doing really
well.
Yeah,
he would have his moment.
He's got some of that dog in him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he has a really good bounce back game versus the Philadelphia Eagles tonight. But obviously Texans and the Eagles tonight, hopefully the Texans can at least make it interesting. Can they keep it within two touchdowns? I actually don't think so, strangely enough. I should be more confident in the Texans right now. I'm not.
Best confidence is that it is Thursday night football.
Right.
That's true.
And by scoring, there may not be two touchdowns in the whole game.
So that's going to be my other point is, you know, what if this game kind of goes the other way and you look at Jalen Hurts and their entire team and they just kind of have a letdown because we are all talking about how they're about to curb stomp. Jalen Hurts is coming home and he's too amped up and he plays a little bit too fast for the game.
Short week,
and gets out of character for who he is. Now, we all know that's very rare, but
on Jalen Hurts Day,
we got
talk about
on Jalen
inopportune time,
right?
Yeah, you can, but listen, a letdown's coming. They're not. Yeah. It's just the way it is. They're going to have a letdown performance at one point. We just don't know when it's happening for them. The rest of their schedule, though, guys, is pretty cake.
Mm-hmm.
They got those two games in the NFC East with the Giants and another one with the Cowboys.
Yes.
Other than that, they really don't have any true test for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. And
they're going to roll through the rest of the season.
You would hope. But as you said, there's definitely going to be a letdown somewhere.
They got the Texans, then they got the Commanders,
yep.
Then the Colts, then the
Commanders
Packers.
Got Taylor Heineke, bro.
He'll test.
He's going to make it compete.
He'll make them compete.
McLaurin out there.
They
boom.
They got the Packers. The Packers are terrible this year.
Awful.
The Titans will be a good test. Then at the Giants.
Yep.
At the Bears, maybe a test. At the Cowboys, Saints, then the Giants. So they got the Giants twice. Then they got to play the Cowboys. So they got four games left, basically.
Yep.
Go Stros!
There you go.
They got the Titans, Cowboys, and then the Giants twice. That's it.
Yep.
Let's say they lose those four games. They're going to beat the Texans. They're going to beat the Commanders. Probably the Colts. Yeah, right down the Packers, too.
Come on, man.
They may slip up with one. Basically, you got five losses in there, max. Max.
Yeah.
This is a 12-win team, no matter which way you look at it right now.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right?
They were coming into the season, I think they were listed to be a 10-win team.
Yeah.
They were going to be but they were the ones who everybody looked at and said that they were going to win the conference.
I did.
The division. So I'm sitting there looking at it, too, and I'm like, okay, here we go. Cowboys are playing better. Obviously, none of us saw the Giants being 6-2 at all. I wasn't expecting that to happen. Especially with a new coach, Danny Dimes still being there.
Danny Dimes.
They have some work to do, but Philadelphia seems to be a team whose leadership is in the right places, and they believe that's why they went and got Robert Quinn, because they believe this is our time.
You just hit the head. Leadership is underrated quality about them. You're talking about Jalen Hurts, whose dad is a coach.
Yep.
He's a natural leader. We all agree with David watching him at Bama.
Yep.
And then Nick Sirianni, his dad was a coach.
Yep.
Heard E. Hogan mentioned that on the B&E show, and he's right about that. So they both kind of understand the natural progression, the natural order of a football organization.
Yeah, yep.
And they're really good at setting that culture. You're right. Okay, real quick before we go to break here, Bradley Chubb signed a huge deal. 5-year extension with the Dolphins worth $119 million, over $63 million guaranteed. And they needed him. I'll give you a great stat. How about this stat? When the Dolphins sent six-plus defenders, so they blitzed, basically a house blitz. They send a damn house in everybody, right? Six-plus defenders are blitzing. They allowed a 158.3 passer rating.
Yeah.
5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions when they sent the house. So they can't apply pressure when they're sending the house or when they're trying to do it organically. They blitzed on like 28% of their snaps, and they rank 11th in the NFL opposing pressure rate. So they just really can't apply pressure. That's why this Chubb signing is so incremental.
And another reason why it is because of all those numbers that you just gave. But their best pass rusher was Brandon Jones, and he got a torn ACL, so he's out for the year. He was the one that was applying all the pressure coming as the safety blitzing. So now they really had to go get a guy because they weren't getting home with Brandon all the time. So now they have to make sure that they get that part of it covered up now.
They had Jaden Phillips. He's a young pass rusher. Yep. 4 sacks, 5 quarterback hits, and 23 hurries. They just needed a bookend pass rusher to complement him. They thought it was going to be Melvin Ingram. They thought it would be Emmanuel Ogba. It's neither one of those guys. It's Bradley Chubb. 6 sacks, 5 QB hits, and 15 hurries. He's the real deal, man. Watch out for Miami. Miami knows they can make the playoffs. So they're gearing up for a team that may be able to scare teams.
They're trying this year because they know next year Tua's going to start asking for that extension.
That's right.
And that is huge because he is on a rookie contract right now.
And playing well.
And playing really well.
Playing really well.
And they know that money is going to be huge if he gets that money coming up next year. So signing another guy to a big contract, you're going very all in on this year to and keep him around.
Yep.
To your Tua point, this is what his agent's going to throw out there when he wants to get paid.
Come on, bring it out there because I was about to say.
Tua on third down, 72% completion percentage this year. He's got 7 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, a 142.7 passer rating on third down. That's the third highest third down passer rating in NFL history since they started keeping track of it on downs. Steve Young has the highest record, 141.2, prior to that. So it's – that's pretty good.
When you see them throwing money around right now, just realize they know that they got to pay him in a year, too. So,
and remember,
we're going to see that cash over cap and all that other stuff happening.
Just remember this. It's what the market says. So when people lose their mind that Tua got all this money, no, it's what the market dictated. Hey. Go get your money.
He's winning.
And he's winning. That's the other part about it, too.
Now, you're right about that. And he's got receivers that'll make those stats look really, really good.
You think they're waiting on Tom Brady?
He was at MF for that Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly who it is.
All right, we'll come back, wrap it up, and put it in the oven live from Terry Black's Barbecue here in Lockhart. This is Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash your
stomach? Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really good.
That's good. That is...
Pop a top again.
All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9. Getting ready to wrap it up and put it in the oven. If you miss any part of any of the shows, please go to hornfm.com. I want to thank the fine folks here at Terry Black's Barbecue in Lockhart and thank Terry Black himself, Godfather, for all of his hospitality, too. This place is fantastic. Please make it a priority to get out here to Terry Black's Barbecue in Lockhart, the brand-new location. I want to thank them. And tomorrow, remember, we're going to be out at Twin Peaks tomorrow, the Round Rock location. If you missed us out here in Lockhart, you can come hang out with us tomorrow. are at Twin Peaks. All right, what's on tap for you, Hutch?
I'm going to get on this road, and I'm going to go home and watch the rest of this baseball game tonight. And I'm going to watch a little bit of that football because it's on Amazon Prime.
You damn right. Yeah, I'm watching Houston versus Philly tonight.
There you go. There you go. That's a great
I'll be watching a lot of Houston versus Phily. So, Patrick, you too, I imagine, same thing.
Yes, sir.
And I'm getting barbecue. Wife is already giving me the brisket order, so I got to bring some brisket home or I'm going to be in trouble.
There it is.
So I want to thank the fine folks and all the fans who came out here to kick it with us. We really appreciate you guys. Best part of this show is meeting all the fans. And shout out to Terry Black's once again, Terry Black's Barbecue, for making this a memorable evening. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. We talk about it right here on Ball Don't Lie. We love you guys. We mean that. Take care of yourselves, but more importantly, take care of each other. Peace.